Welcome to the Professional Plumber Podcast. We hope that these podcasts will bring some insights into who we are and what we do. So while in conversation with the PIRB, sit back, enjoy, and make sure to connect with the PIRB on Facebook or at pirb.co.za for more.
It's a lekker warm, hearty welcome to you, our listener, to our audience out there. This is another technical discussion with our technical guru, Mr. Richard Bailey, in studio with me today. And the topic that we're going to discuss today is the second in our new series of safety tips for consumers. And this time around, we're going to talk about sanitary wear and tap maintenance. Richard, thanks a stack for joining me today.
Willem, no, it's an absolute pleasure, as always. And glad to be back for another one, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I think these ones specifically, you know, they carry a lot of value, not only to the plumbers, but so much for the consumer out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this is, we say it time and time again, but this is how we try to gear the discussions so that it's not just a bunch of technical jargon that consumers can't necessarily understand. We try and include a lot of useful information for the consumers out there as well.
We'll give our guests the opportunity to introduce themselves right after this.
Are you a tradesperson or a trading company that is looking for a platform to market your services? Let Articulated speed up the process for you. You can use our podcast to sell your services. Email us for a quote at organizer@articulated.co.za. You can also visit our website at www.articulated.co.za.
Don't forget to download the all-new and improved App Plumber from the Google Play Store. All your plumbing solutions are just a click away, exclusively for Android users.
Richard, so in the first round in which we had a discussion around safety tips for the consumers, we discussed loose sanitary wear and the risks that are associated with them. And in this specific episode or this round of safety tips for the consumers, we're talking about sanitary wear and tap maintenance specifically. What can you just tell me what is meant by the term sanitary wear?
Yeah, so just as an introduction, I mean, we must assume that the person listening to this hasn't, you know, listened to any other. This could be the very first. So we need to introduce the concept of sanitary wear and what we mean by it. And that is, you know, it's usually meant to describe all of the fixtures that one would find in a bathroom or a kitchen, for example. For example, your basin, your bath, your toilet, your kitchen sink. The sanitary ware traditionally is something that you would look at and say, oh, it's made of porcelain, but these days there's all kinds of different materials. So basically your fixtures, your sanitary fixtures is what we're referring to. Tapware is different, and we'll touch on that in a bit. But the sanitary fixtures are these items that you go to the plumbing supplier and you say, I would like a bathroom suite, and that would include your shower enclosure, your bath, your toilet, your basin, etc. And that's what we would call sanitary wear. I mean, it includes materials. These things have been, you know, if you look around the high-end shops, you will find some exquisite types of sanitary wear and really beautiful stuff, all the way from copper to stainless steel to glass to ceramic to stone to porcelain, which is the more sort of conventional, and resin compounds and composites. I've seen wooden baths, guys that have made wooden baths, and quite professionally done, I must say, and they're not cheap. Imagine a wooden bath. But yeah, that's another discussion. But that's what we mean by sanitary wear. Yeah.
I can honestly say I've never seen a wooden bath.
There's a guy here locally in Cape Town that manufactures, I'm not going to say dozens, but I'd probably say three or four at a time. If you go to his workshop, he's probably got three or four on a production line at any given time. And they go out, you know, one a week, one every 2 weeks, off it goes. And they're not cheap.
Right, so sanitary wear, you said you know, they're made of a variety of materials, and you've mentioned a few examples thereof. But how would, you know, how are these things maintained? How do you maintain a porcelain item, for example? There's not much that can go wrong with an inert piece of porcelain, is there?
No, exactly. So when we say maintain sanitary ware, we don't mean that if your toilet cracks in half, we must know how to glue it back together. So that's, because that's not the maintenance that we're talking about. What we mean is when we maintain sanitary ware, it's the installation that needs to be maintained. There are a number of contact points between the sanitary fixture and plumbing supply, whether it's water supply or waste takeaway. There's a couple of contact points. Those joints need to be made correctly, etc. So it's the installation that we talk about when we talk about maintenance.
Can you give a couple of examples of that, Richard?
Yeah, so I mean, in a previous podcast, we spoke about loose fixtures. That's an obvious one. If the thing is loose, it's going to cause some sort of damage somewhere. You know, bear in mind that, as I said, there's a couple of very often hard contact points between water supply and waste takeaway, which means that if things start to shake around, those could start leaking. And leaks are not only unsightly and wasteful, but they cause a lot of damage, and they can cause damage to cupboards and other stuff as well. And I mean, I don't have to explain to you. Long-term, very, very slow leaks can cause mold, which I think we've also mentioned previously, which is not a nice thing to have hanging around in a bathroom somewhere, especially if it's an enclosed bathroom. And if it's in like severe cases, I've seen sanitary fixtures that are completely loose and the actual thing is going to be damaged. The porcelain itself cracks, or the acrylic basin itself pulls apart and the tap pulls out, or whatever the case may be. So for obvious reasons, loose fixtures is a problem. We also spoke about previously in a previous podcast, we spoke about water tightness. In other words, the fixture is designed to keep water within a specific area. If it's a basin, it comes out of the tap. It's designed to kind of keep mostly within the bowl, but splashes onto the top of the basin. We don't want that water, for example, finding its way into the cupboard underneath the basin. So that water tightness is what I mean. So that speaks to the installation. If the sealant or the installation against the back of the wall is not good, or the sealant between the basin and the cupboard that it's sitting on is not good, these are the types of things that can get that can cause damage, sometimes catastrophic, sometimes very long-term over a number of months or years, and it can cause gradual but severe damage. Think of a kitchen cupboard as well. You know, let's call it a wet area. Very wet area is the kitchen sink. And if a seal between the sink and the top of the cupboard is not good, water will find its way underneath into the carcass of the cupboard. And those cupboards are usually made out of chipboard. Not all, but some. Most are. And that, of course, swells up, and that's a bit of a disaster.
Yeah.
A common sort of misconception, and I think this is quite important for a consumer to recognize, because we're always looking for a job or a repair or a service to be done at a very reasonable cost, or at least the lowest cost that we can possibly find. However, it's important to recognize that if you're trying to properly rectify or repair a leaking or a loose sanitary fixture, such as a sink or a basin, for example, or even a toilet for that matter, it's very often, most times, impossible to do so effectively without removing the whole thing. You've got to take it out completely and start from scratch if you want to do it properly. So just be aware that when a plumber comes to you and says, I've got to remove this thing, we've got to clean it up, we've got to replace this and that that's damaged, and then we start from scratch. He's not trying to milk the situation. He's actually trying to give you the best advice and do the right thing in order to get it fixed for long periods, you know, for 10 years down the line. If we come with Band-Aids and plasters, it'll work for 2 weeks, and then you've got the same problem again.
In the long term, it's just going to cost you more and more because you have to call out people to come and fix it again and again and again.
That's right. And two or three of those repairs will cost exactly the same as a proper repair in the first place. And with much more frustration added. So it's not just a matter, and it's just this is just a little bit of useful information, as I said, for the consumer. It's not just a matter of coming in with some silicone and sealing around it. Sometimes that works just fine. Don't get me wrong. But often you need to go the extra mile, make sure that you've addressed all the issues, make sure that you've addressed the securing of the thing to the wall, and if they, you know, and so you address it from top to bottom. So that would be my advice is don't skimp on the methodology of repair.
But the fact is also that in many instances, the consumer would try to maintain something themselves. And it may be something that they don't necessarily have the correct knowledge about in order for them to properly maintain.
Yeah. And, you know, we're all guilty of this as consumers, myself included. When I want to try and repair something that I have in my home, I go to YouTube or I go to the specialist who I think is the specialist. If it's a lawnmower, I go and speak to Lawnmower Mecca and ask them, and then I try and do it myself. So, but sometimes you can and sometimes you can't. Just recognize your own limitations and remember that, you know, if you're going to start working on dangerous stuff like waste and sewer and that sort of thing, because that is dangerous, you're going to put yourself in a little bit of a risky situation. But having said that, by all means, consult an expert and use proper fixtures and fittings. That leads me into my next point, because often we will go, as I said, consult the experts, and often that expert is perceived to be the person behind the counter at your local hardware store. And let me tell you, Willem, not many of them are experts. With all and great respect to them, as human beings, but they are not plumbing experts. This is the key. Let me just get that straight. They're not plumbing experts, so they don't have the correct advice to give you. So when they say to you, this product will solve all your issues and it will do it, just take that with a pinch of salt and do your own research a little bit better than that. A case in point would be, and this is just an example, you know, the waste trap underneath a basin, for example, or the pan connector at the back of a toilet pan. When those start to leak, we love, and everybody loves the idea of a nice flexible trap to be able to just put in there very easily without too much effort. Now, for example, those traps are not compliant. They cannot be they can be used and they are effective for a certain period of time, but they are non-compliant. So now you want to sell the house, a plumber picks it up and he says, this is non-compliant, and you've got to change them anyway. So there's a case in point where it might seem like an easy, correct fix at the time, but in fact it's not. So have your facts straight and just find out from the right people in the first place.
Before we continue with our conversation, have a listen to this.
Introducing the Plumbing Industry Registration Board Company Registration Portal. Now you can register your company to have access to more benefits, including purchasing and allocating certificates of compliance to your PRB registered employees. Visit www.pirb.co.za to find out more information.
This year, various role players in the plumbing industry will gather once more for an ultimate boxing showdown, and it's all in the name of charity.
Yes, the plumbing industry is gearing up for this year's Champions for Charity boxing match.
This white-collar boxing event will ultimately see various average Joes step into the ring and give boxing a bash.
If you want to find out more about sponsorships or want to get involved, please email c4c@pirb.co.za for more.
I just want to mention to our audience, to the listener out there, if you're not aware of the fact that a certain, you know, plumbing equipment, plumbing installations should be compliant. Richard used the word non-compliant. That refers to the fact that they have to be compliant with the applicable national standards, or SANS standards as we refer to them. And if they are not compliant, you will not necessarily receive a compliance certificate for them. Is that correct, Richard?
That's 100% right. You know, plumbing is a protected trade, and it is subject to a set of national standards, as you've said. And plumbing, not only the installation practices and the methodologies need to comply with these, but the products themselves also need to comply with certain product standards. And that's what I was referring to. So you will find very clearly stated in the drainage standards, I'm not going to get into details, but it says Constantina type traps are not acceptable. They are very specific with that because it's a restriction. It's not a smooth bore inside. It's a reduction of diameter, etc. So it might seem like a silly detail, but the fact is that it's non-compliant. So it's just an illustrator. And I'm trying to illustrate to you that it's always worth your while to seek a second and perhaps even a third opinion from somebody who really knows their stuff.
Mm. Richard, you also mentioned when we just started off with this episode that you are or we will include taps in this episode.
Yeah.
What is important about taps?
Yeah, and forgive me again for stating the obvious, but leaking or misbehaving taps can be cause for lots of problems. Water wastage, which is a concern in and of itself, but if it's hot water, for example, it's energy wastage as well. There are very many types of taps on the market with different types of mechanisms and a huge array of quality, levels, should we say. There are some fantastically solid taps that will last for 15, 20 years, and there are some that will realistically only last for 5 or 6 if you're lucky. So it's impossible to go into every single method of maintaining these things. But, there are certain expectations when you use a product, and a tap is no different. So when the thing starts to misbehave, for example, if it becomes tight or starts to squeak when you turn it, or it becomes more difficult to turn it or lift it, or its range of movement changes, or it's leaking, which is the most obvious thing, a dripping tap, we're all familiar with that, or mm-hmm. perhaps if the entire tap itself is loose, these are all signs that should prompt you into maintaining or starting to maintain the product itself. As I said, there are a lot of taps that are on the market that don't quite stack up when it comes to the quality thing. So you can start to expect after a number of years that they start to their performance goes backwards a little bit. But very often it can be sorted out with a good qualified guy that knows what he's doing and doing some maintenance on it will sort it.
Richard, so what should be done?
So yeah, as I said, there's all different kinds of taps, but single lever mixers are quite ubiquitous, and I think they are found in most homes. So things like the cartridge, there's a cartridge inside those mixers that can be easily replaced. It's an entire unit which can pop out and pop back in. There's O-rings within the spouts, for example. Not very many other moving parts with single lever mixers apart from the cartridges. Again, you'll find that the better quality ones will last for 10, 12 years, and the other ones will start to squeak and be very difficult to move quite quickly. And just know that you can replace those cartridges. The other thing which is very common for all mixers, most mixers, they have little aerator at the end of the spout where the water comes out. A lot of times if the water comes out in a stream that has got little tiny air bubbles in it, that is as a result of an aerator. And that aerator gets dirty very quickly, and you can easily unscrew it and rectify, or at least clean that out and rectify any flow issues. The entire mixer is secured to whatever it is installed in, like, for example, a basin or a sink, by means of some sort of a back nut arrangement underneath on a threaded rod. Various mixers have got various designs, but essentially there's a fixation underneath which is accessible, and you can get to it, and you can tighten it. And if it's stripped out, you can actually replace the entire thing. Again, sometimes it's a job that would need a professional, but you probably could attempt it on your own if you technically minded. So those all things are doable, and it's accessible, and you could try and rectify that.
So we just discussed mixers now, whether they be single lever mixers or so. But what about normal taps?
Yeah, normal taps is also another sort of a generic term. I would guess old-fashioned taps is more accurate to describe them. The ones with the normal handles that you turn anti-clockwise to open and clockwise to close. And those, now, I haven't even covered other stuff which I'll mention in a minute, but those have got components in them that are all replaceable. Most of them are serviceable in terms of just cleaning, lubrication, etc. Things, again, like O-rings. I'm going to use a technical term now. It's called a packing gland, which is something that will be sold to you over the counter quite easily, and you'll understand what it's for. I'm not going to get into it now. But the tap washer can be replaced as well. These things are all doable. Things like ceramic quarter-turn cartridges. If you've got a very, very fancy tap, and the tap is only what we call a quarter turn, it's 90-degree open and close. That has a little cartridge of its own in there, which can be replaced easily or serviced sometimes under special – well, and for certain things it can be serviced, not always. Things like demand-type taps and metering taps. Those are specialist, quite specialist items and cannot be serviced. Those you will need to remove the entire cartridge and replace it with new. Unless you are the designer of that particular tap, I wouldn't advise you to try and rectify it at all. I would just take it to a specialist or call a specialist out and have them rectify it. But again, Willem, you know, with everything, it's common sense. Any kind of tap which is affixed to a sanitary fixture like a basin, bath, sink, etc., if they are starting to come loose, there are ways in which to tighten them. If they are blocked on the outlet and it comes through an aerator, they're all removable. They're all replaceable or cleanable. So a lot of these things can be done on their own. But just my advice would be to use common sense. In other words, if something feels kind of wrong, then it probably is. And just have it seen to before it gets too late.
Absolutely. Richard, thanks a stack for once again for having joined me in this episode. And you know, we do believe that this will carry a lot of value to our listener out there, to you, the listener out there, whether you're a layman or whether you are already working in the plumbing sector as a plumber. We do know that this is going to carry a lot of value to you.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Willem. As we've said, you know, time and time before, is this is kind of geared towards the consumer, just giving them high-level advice what to do, and I hope it does carry some value. Thanks very much. Yeah.
Awesome. And then lastly, thanks a stack to you, our listener. Thanks for joining in and listening to this episode. We will definitely chat to you again next time. Just before wrapping up this conversation, have a listen to this.
Plumber training has never been easier with articulated plumber courses. Enroll now to upskill yourself at your own pace and earn CPD points. Our informative and easy-to-follow courses can be found on iopsitraining.co.za. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Articulated Plumber. Thanks for having tuned in. Make sure to read more about the PIRB on our website at pirb.co.za and on our social media channels like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.